Welcome. It's so wonderful to be here with you practicing today and welcoming people's faces and people who have come who I am not, don't know, and to all of the old familiar faces that I see here now. I really appreciate your coming out to support me. And on this cold spring day, you know, it was within hours ago that some of us were here on the all-day sit yesterday, windows wide open, feeling this just beautiful, strong, warm wind. And, you know, everything changes. And here we are, and it was a cold morning as I headed out to Grand Central Station. So, you know, when I was sitting, I thought that the prayer that I had in the back at the end, I thought, you know what? I want to read that and start with that. So this is St. Teresa's prayer. So the famous St. Teresa of Calcutta, Catholic nun. I've tweaked it just a tiny bit. May today there be peace within. May you trust that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing that you are a child of the Buddha. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of us. So somehow maybe that will resonate a bit and reveal itself as I talk about what I'm going to talk about today. So a few weeks ago, my son, who recently moved to Portland, Oregon, came for a visit, and he said, let's watch a documentary. It's really great. I think you and Dad, you know, would really enjoy it. So we did. The documentary was called Meru, M-E-R-U. Meru is a 22,000-foot-tall mountain in the Garhwal Himalayas in India. And it's not to be confused with Mount Sumeru of Hindu and Buddhist fame, which is in Tanzania. Later on, I learned that Meru means spine in Sanskrit. This documentary, which I heartily recommend, won for Best Documentary at the Sundance Festival in 2012. It is the story of three American climbers who were all world famous, the best of the best climbers in the world, Conrad Ankar, Jimmy Chin, and Renan Ozturk. They made history in 2011 by becoming the first people to reach the summit of this central peak of Mount Meru. And they did this via the shark's fin, what's this feature called the shark's fin, which was the climb's most daunting feature. 1,500 feet of sheer, vertical, featureless granite. They did this in a 12-day push. And it was actually filmed by the men as they climbed. Jimmy Chin is, is also kind of a filmmaker as well. The climbers carried, they didn't have any, one carrying their gear, or they carried 200 pounds of supplies on their back. Climbers have been trying to climb this for 30 years. And these men, these three men, had actually tried before and failed because of bad weather and conditions. They turned back in their first attempt 300 feet from the peak. And the reason they turned back was that when they kind of calculated the weather conditions and not having any food supplies and weighed everything, they realized that they would probably die, and they wouldn't risk that. So they went back down. Jimmy Chin said in an article, "You can show up at Everest having really never climbed before because it's like hiking, basically. You can't show up on Meru and start up the thing unless you have years and years of experience. Climbing and spending time on the mountains is really the only way you get there." So after I was really loved the documentary, thought it was riveting, and the footage, just spectacular of these Himalayan peaks. The next morning, though, I woke up and it was on my mind, and I felt very inspired by these men on many different levels, for their character, their perseverance in really harsh, if you see the documentary, you'll see what I mean. You can't believe that they would actually attempt this. It looks so impossible. But what was really on my mind was that I was seeing what they did as a metaphor, or I was seeing it through the lens of Buddhist practice. And you might say, oh, come on, this is like ridiculous. What they endured. How could you say that it's like Buddhist practice? Well, I think that for me, there are really difficult moments sitting zazen. Dogen in the line, to study Zen is to study the self. I think it's really not all the time, but there are many moments where, I struggle And I feel like I'm just burning up in some hell realm as I look at something starts percolating, kind of coming up, some insight about how I'm functioning, maybe functioning a habit, how I functioned, you know, for my whole life. And all of a sudden, I see it. And it really hurts. But I will kind of continue with that, come back to that. So, thinking about these climbers, their spirits were just so strong. When they made this ascent, they had such, they had to be totally clear in every single moment, because one wrong step, one wrong move, literally the shifting of weight in a wrong way, and the whole team could die, literally. Their teamwork, the way they supported each other, the way they collaborated, the way they made their decisions, bringing their different voices together, and allowed, you know, one to lead, one to step back. Another would step forward, another would step back. They took turns. The intensive training that they undertook in preparation to make this was really awe-inspiring. So, a couple of moments, you know, in the film that stood out for me. And this actually, they kind of went back and talked about their first attempt. Renan actually had an accident, ended up in the hospital in a coma, having, you know, broken bones and injured himself. 6 months later, he was back trying again. Is that determination is amazing. There was an avalanche that took the whole section down, and Chin literally just was carried just down this huge, huge slope. And he ended up by popping up while they kind of dug him out. And he got up, and he was not injured, totally shaken up. And you could see the transparency of how shaken, of who he was. You could see who he was. Okay. So I looked up, you know, and why, trying to understand, you know, this metaphor and this climbing the mountain, the metaphor, you know, why it resonated so, why I was so much, so drawn to this. Mountains is a symbol. They're one of the oldest images of deity. In Japan, Fuji is the center of the world. It is also a volcano. And this is in a country that is 85,000% mountainous. So it's an active volcano in the center of the universe. Mountains can symbolize obstacles, climbing over through mountain ranges. It's like looking out now. You know, it's like up, down, you know? There's just a mountain range circling the room. Because we also, in our practice, sit like a mountain, be like a mountain. What does that mean? You know, sitting, emotions, things in our lives could be, oh, just sitting and there are storms raging. You know, the volcano could be activated. And so that might be for me a moment of, I'm burning up with looking at within in a moment. But can we be like a mountain? Consider the instructions that we have received for sitting practice, how to position our bodies. You know, strong spine, shoulders back and relaxed, head position, you know, straight over our spine. So mountains are also this central axis, right? That somehow the heavens and the earth, the mountains somehow represent that integration of that the cross represents in Christian faith of body and mind together. And so when we sit, we might not get there. We might not be there. But we practice with our breath to build this strength, this inner strength, so that we can look and we can be with whatever is arising, whatever is falling away. So, mountains are also, climbing a mountain is also symbolic of spiritual quest. And so what is the spiritual quest? Kaku gave a really powerful talk yesterday and raised some questions that to me are very central for this spiritual quest. What brings you here today? What do you hope for yourself? What do you aspire to? Who am I? Bokushu gave a beautiful talk last Sunday where he talked about life. Where is it? Right here, now, in the present. He talked about purpose. You know, where is our purpose? What is our purpose? You know, what brought you here? It's a great question. You know, to constantly hold before us. What does it mean to heal? For me, all of these questions, when I came into the Zendo, when I came to Buddhist practice, I really didn't know what any of these questions even were. I think I look back and there was I had a yearning for what I don't really know what, but I had a yearning and I was casting about. So for me, this climbing the mountain, that's what we do. And it is a part of our tradition, you know, monks and practitioners making pilgrimages up mountains, long journeys, climbing mountains. Right, what is it really about? Who am I? Who am I? Where is it? How do I touch where it is? So that I wanted to talk briefly about a koan. Joshu saw through the old woman. A monk asked an old woman, "Which way should I take to Mount Gotai?" Right? Another mountain. The old woman said, "Go straight on." When the monk had taken a few steps, she remarked, "He may look like a fine monk, but he too goes off like that." Later, a monk told Joshu about it. Joshu said, "Wait a while. I will go and see through that old woman for you." The next day, off he went and asked the same question. The old woman, too, gave the same answer. When he returned, Joshu announced to the monks, "I have seen through the old woman of Mount Gotai for you." So, which way should I take to Mount Gotai? Go straight on. So what is the old woman saying? Well, we hear from our teachers and we learn from our own experience of practice over time that there is no outside, that when we're looking within, or when we're looking at something that is painful, and maybe today is my 40th anniversary, my husband's and I 40th anniversary. So that's been a ripe place for practice. Because so often, he's really ticked me off. I am just percolating with, you know, how he isn't present, how he's non-relational, and I'm just looking at him, you know, and not myself. And guess who isn't being relational, right? So in practice, go straight on is like, go straight inside. And what am I doing? And am I looking at in touch with my own body and my own thoughts? What do I need to work on? Allow him to be himself. When the monk had taken a few steps, she remarked, "He may look like a fine monk, but he too goes off like that." Well, just a little while ago in walking meditation, we were just starting, and I kind of got adrift. And the next thing I knew, I literally did not hear the Jikido had not sounded, okay, now we're gonna go in a normal step. I literally bowed down and was gonna take off. And it was like, oh my God, where am I? So I do that all the time in so many different ways. So the next day, you know, Joshu went, right? And it was the same question and the same answer. And we look at our question, they come up again and again and again. And sometimes we keep getting the same answers. And then sometimes we actually see something new. and it allows us, or that whatever's percolating, it allows us to change a step, and we can go off in a new, we can go in a new direction. And then when he returned, Joshua announced, "I have seen through the old woman of Mount Gutai for you." So for me, you know, I think all of these different voices, the monk who questions, the old woman who sits, the teacher, all these voices and roles are, we all have them within ourselves, and we can be the teacher too for ourselves as we have an insight. And we also help each other in the same way that the mountain climbers did. We help each other just by practicing together to be with what's coming up and to move forward, to be with what's difficult and to move forward in a new way. D.T. Suzuki, you know, one of our great Zen ancestors who came to the United States, wrote in one of his books, "When mountain climbing is made too easy, the spiritual effect the mountain exercises vanishes into the air." He really lamented in these couple of pages that, you know, this modern world, that monks weren't going off and trekking through the mountains. There was a whole different landscape in this modern world we live in. And he felt that we were losing some of the difficulty that we need. You know, the going down into the volcano, the being with the fire, that when we can actually practice and sit in that fire, it doesn't need to consume us. It can actually change us and allow us to climb the mountain, to reach the summit, to strengthen our spine. So, I see that it is time. And so I wanted to end. I'll end with reading the prayer and then a little poem that I wrote. May today there be peace within. May you trust that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing that you are a child of the Buddha. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of us. A peak emerges in the distance, shrouded in clouds. Your heart quickens. Go there, love.